In John's gospel, 7 times Jesus makes an I am statement. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. But in the reading from this morning in John chapter 14 is my favorite Jesus I am statement. And that is when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, this statement that Jesus makes, this I am statement, takes place during the Last Supper. Now, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet and given them the commandment that they should love one another as he has loved them. And it's soon after Judas leaves the table in anger to go and betray him. It's immediately after Jesus tells Peter that he will betray him 3 times that night. Then he drops the bombshell. And he says, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Talk about a low point. This is about as low as it can get for the disciples, as low as they have ever been in their time with Jesus. It's all falling apart around them. All of their hopes and their dreams are dying right before their eyes. No power, no glory, no fame, none of the things that they were looking for, nothing but farewell and death lie ahead, and they know it. The path to glory that had seemed so clear before that terrible night that they were now living, seemed to be roadblocked for good. The freedom to live whole lives that Jesus had given to them was falling through their fingers. The wonderful words he had spoken and the beautiful visions of what life was like in God's kingdom seemed like nothing now. The worth and dignity he had given to even the least of them seemed like one more false hope, just one more pipe dream. And that fullness of life that had filled their hearts as they traveled with Jesus and learned about his Father by learning about him was over. That's when Jesus chooses to say to us and to them for the 5th time, I am. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when Sharon was reading it, did you recognize this passage from John 14? It's a classic funeral reading, right up there with Psalm 23. I kind of think of them as a dynamic duo of scriptures for memorial services. I don't think I've ever done a funeral or memorial service where I didn't use at least one of those 2 verses. What do you think, Dirk? Got to have one of them, right? John 14 or the 23rd Psalm. That's how beloved this passage from John 14 is. It ranks just one notch below maybe the 23rd Psalm for giving us comfort. I mean, Jesus knows what they need, and he knows what to say, and most importantly, how to say it. And that's why he opens up this speech with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, the setting here is out of the greatest of all Jewish festivals, the Passover, commemorating the escape of the Jews from slavery in Egypt, 40 years of learning to trust in God's care and faithfulness as they journeyed through the desert, and their ultimate arrival in the promised land. Now, the connection to the Jewish Passover and the Christ, the connection that John makes between the Passover lamb, whose blood kept the Israelites safe when the angel of the Lord passed over Egypt, and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that's an obvious connection. And there's certainly a flavor of that in this I am statement. But the words hold far more richness of meaning than that. In the Passover story, it is God who makes a way for Israel, who sets the stage for Moses to rise to prominence in Egypt, who commissions Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, who makes a way for Israel to finally be let go by Pharaoh after 10 plagues, who parts the waters of the Red Sea to make a way for the Israelites to escape, and who says no way to Pharaoh and his army. It's God who makes a way, not only through the sea, but through the wilderness, who makes a way through the wilderness of sin, through their rebellion and idolatry, through complaining and general bad and miserable behavior. caring for his people, and feeding them with the bread from heaven. It's God who makes a way through the Jordan River and brings the people home to the good land he promised to their ancestors. Do you see the parallel between God who brings the people into the land he has promised them and Jesus who brings us to the place he has prepared for us? Jesus says, I am the way. It's our God who makes a way in the wilderness and a way in the desert for the people to return from exile in Babylon. It's our God who makes a way for us when no way seems open to us. It's our God in the person of Jesus Christ who is our way, who makes our way, and who leads us in the way to the Father. But that's only a fraction of what Jesus means when he says, I am the way. And then he continues with, I am the truth. The word for truth that John uses throughout his gospel is that same word that Jesus and Pilate toss back and forth 12 hours from now. Aletheia in the Greek, which can mean not hidden, but actually the literal translation is to remember, to not forget. That's what Jesus means when he says that his sheep listen to his voice. Not listen as in, okay, I hear you, but listen as in, okay, I understand the meaning behind your words. The good shepherd tells his sheep the truth about themselves, like he did for the Samaritan woman at the well, like he did for the Pharisees and the scribes many times, like he did for the woman caught in adultery, like he wants to do for Pilate in just a few hours. He reminds us, his sheep, that we belong to the truth. Jesus tells them about where they've been and helps them remember what that was like, if they'll listen. But more importantly, to belong to the truth that Jesus is talking about. To listen to Jesus' voice means that we're willing to listen even harder to where Jesus is calling us to go. To belong to the truth means that we're willing to listen to the truth about who we are today, not just in the past, but in the present and into the future. Jesus helped the Samaritan woman at the well to remember where her life had been. But his offer to belong to the truth was an invitation for her to accept the living waters that he offers. And he helped the woman caught in adultery to see where her life had been. But more importantly, to belong to the truth was an invitation for her to remember that Jesus didn't come to condemn, but to lead her in the way of forgiveness and wholeness of life. Jesus is the one who tells us the truth about ourselves, who shows us what our lives have been like when we wandered in that wilderness for our figurative 40 years, and then calls us to follow the way to wholesome life. Because following the way for our lives helps us discover the truth about ourselves. To know the truth that Jesus offers us is to be willing to face up to the truth about ourselves that we hide from other people. To know the truth is to look long and hard at the parts of us that we'd rather keep hidden than let them be illuminated by the light of the world. To know the truth about ourselves is to be able to look beyond those things we're ashamed of and remember that it's for us too that God parted the sea, that it's for us too that God rained down bread from heaven to feed us and gave us water from the rock, that it was for us too that God has prepared the promised land. Jesus claimed to be the way and the truth during the Passover celebration is richer and deeper in meaning than just connecting his sacrifice with that of the Passover lamb. Those claims of being the way and the truth connect us to the entire story of God's people and remind us of God's loving care for us that stretches all the way back to the story of Adam and Eve. Jesus is reminding us that he is those very things for us. So it's no wonder that he begins this speech by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Even as their worst fears are being realized. To follow the one who makes a way for us through life and to listen to him sing to us the truth about our lives opens us up to receive the third promise that Jesus makes in this I am statement. I am the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, I am the life. Now, in the Greek language, there are three words that can be translated as life. Yes, you're going to get a big, fat Greek lesson this morning. Three words for life. Each has a distinctive twist to them. Bios is the first, as in biology. Bios means life in the physical sense of the word, what you can see and touch, animals, creatures, critters. Bios is our body and its physical function. When we physically die, our bios ends. Now, the second word for life is psyche, as in psychology. The word means our emotional life, our personality, our intellect. It's the life that's lived inside of our head. And that also ends when we physically die. But here in John 14, Jesus uses the third Greek word for life, zoe, which means fullness or wholeness of life. Zoe is the life that we are given from God. It's the breath that God breathes into Adam to make him fully alive after he's created. It's the thing that makes us fully human, fully alive, and it's the thing that continues in us even after death. It's the life we live after resurrection. It's the part of us that's different from our bios and our psyche. Now, in the opening of John's gospel, John says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, Zoe. And the life, Zoe, was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Zoe life is what makes Jesus unique and fully human. Jesus is fully alive, and he offers to us that fullness of life also. When Jesus tells his disciples there on the second to worst day of their life, do not let your hearts be troubled, he's making them an offer. It's an offer to trade their half lives, their less than perfect lives, their lives of slavery to sin, of slavery to fear, of slavery to death, and to accept his offer of Zoe life, complete life, eternal life, abundant life, fullness of life. When Jesus says three little words, he is saying so much, and those three little words are so packed with meaning. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the one who has come to lead you out of the dark and scary places that you've dwelt in too long. I am the one who can make a way forward for you where and when no forward way seems possible. I am the one who tells you the truth about yourself. I am the one who holds up a mirror for you so you can see where you have been and what you've been. I am the truth about who you really are. And I offer to you the gift of Zoe life, whole life, abundant life, resurrection life. I have come to bring whole life, Zoe life to you. Those things in you that you thought were dead and gone forever, those parts of you that you thought nothing could bring back again, the innocence, the tenderness, the peace, the joy, the love, those things I offer to you. I am the way and the truth and the life. I have come to lead you in the way to abundant new life, both now and forever. And I will tell you the truth about your life and the truth about what you mean to me. And I will lead you into full life here and into the fullness of life after death. Come and follow me, for I am the way and the truth and the life. Amen.